98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Until now, the NFL had aced the pandemic. We've seen the perfect stay-at-home NFL draft. We've seen marquee players join other teams with giant chips on their shoulders. We've seen an immovable Robotron commissioner apologize to his players over the taking a knee issue. But now the fighting begins. As in, what exactly is going down when football players are expected to report for training camp on July 28th? At the crux of the issue is two preseason games the owners want the players to execute, and the players do not want to play in them. The owners don't want to give them up for fear that they'll never come back, and that's because they're an easy revenue stream. Meanwhile, the NFLPA president has gone on the offensive, writing an open letter criticizing the NFL for ignoring safety reasons and issues and putting their players at risk. In the end, he said, quote, "The NFL is acting like the virus will bend to its will," end quote. Now, what this marks is the end of the spirit of cooperation that seemed to mark a new day in the NFL, and it's proof of what I've been saying all along. The NFL must really bend to the will of its players in a pandemic, giving them every concession they want, even if it means only 3 weeks of prep time for the season ahead. It also means giving them full salaries, even without fans in the stands. And that's going to be a test for the NFL and its owners, because in this league, greed always dies hard. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW. Open for business in two great locations. The newly renovated shop off the I-10 and Ray Road in Chandler. Also on Camelback Road in Phoenix. You can always find them online at ChapmanBMW.com.
I'm betting it towards the zero because we've seen these cases respike. And you know the NFL owners want to have a football season. So if they get out there in the preseason and things start to go the opposite way, they go downhill, then that could affect the regular season. So, you know, I'm on the side of they're going to try and be as cautious as possible and get guys into the regular season before they risk having to shut things down if things go in the wrong direction.
All right, that is Rob Ninkovich talking about all of this that's coming up with the NFL.
He's predicting zero preseason games.
Right, and I think that I really hope the NFL, they've really impressed me with everything they've done up to this point, and they've been blessed. They've been blessed with time. They've been blessed with having an off season that they could execute because there's no human contact necessary to stage a draft, to sign players, to create free agency and execute that. So they've been lucky. They've been smart. They've been progressive. They've been aggressive. They've been willing to try new things. And once again, Roger Goodell apologizing to players is something I don't think I'd have ever thought to have seen in my lifetime. It's like moving a mountain. But that all happened, and it all symbolized to me, okay, the NFL sees what's ahead, and they're making some really strategically smart maneuvers, because if you're going to get football players to bash into each other the way they do and emote the way they do and exude the way they do, right, it's pandemic central is what it is. And to expect football players to do it, you're going to have to give them everything they want and just say, listen, what do you need? You're our gladiators. We don't have a product without you. We know we're asking the world of you. This is what you do. Nobody else on this planet can do what you do. So you tell me what you need to get on that field on September 10th.
The problem is there's never been a sport that did that less than the NFL.
Right.
They are least likely over the course of history to give into the players, to give the players what they want.
Truth.
It's not like baseball.
That is true.
So we'll see. And I pointed out earlier, but the open letter that was published today was very much a baseball move. It reminded me of the negotiations between Tony Clark and Rob Manfred, and a letter published pointing out all the problems that they have currently with the NFL, all the things that they want done. The fact that they made this public to curry favor, to put pressure on them, to help with their negotiations. I hope this leads to something good. I hope that Roger Goodell reads the letter now. I'm sure it's already stuff that he already knew about. So he's probably like, why are you making this public and why are you telling all the fans and the media this?
Right.
But hopefully he says, like, okay, let's just stop this right here. We don't want to have a big public argument like baseball just had for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue being the most popular sport. We want to continue getting the fans excited for the upcoming season. Okay, we understand that you're serious about this now, serious enough to make this public, so we'll let you have no preseason games.
What has happened here, I think what has happened is we got to a point where a lot of us assumed that maybe we could just ignore this virus and it would go away, or that maybe we could open up all of our businesses and just play through it. And I think what we've learned is it's a little more tricky and complicated than that. It deserves and commands a lot more commitment than we as a country have been able to perform in unity. We have not all pushed in the same direction with this thing. We've politicized this thing. We've chosen it. We've weaponized it, all that stuff, instead of just being smart about it. So now we're paying that price. And what's happening now is, from what I can tell, because I see this with my own daughter, who's got a very large group of friends, and now she knows people who have the virus. And now she's scared of it. Now, they all know that young kids, that they know that this doesn't necessarily threaten their lives, but they do know friends now who have gotten sick. And so the fear now is finally real, at least to responsible young adults. And so I think that fear now is playing out on a broader sense, in that football players are going, okay, you know what? Maybe this is more serious than we thought. And we're seeing it with baseball players. You're seeing it with all athletes. And it's why the NBA, in creating a bubble, really, to date, has been the only sport that has really kind of nailed the safety protocol issue as best as you can, in my opinion.
And I feel like the NFL and the players probably felt kind of like we felt over these last 4 months,
mm-hmm.
in that by the time the NFL season starts, this will sort itself out in some way.
Yeah.
Either, like, you know, the virus numbers will go way down, or we'll have so much testing that it won't matter, we'll have a vaccine or whatever. The fact that we're getting closer and closer and closer and nothing is sorted out, all of a sudden now it's becoming real to the players and becoming real to the union, just like you were saying there, and that it's the realization that they're actually, the NFL is also going to have to deal with what the NBA, the NHL, and the MLB mm-hmm. has had to deal with the last few months.
Yeah, and listen, this is going to be an issue now, because if the NFL is going to really take this tack that, okay, you know what? We can't create a bubble for you guys. You're going to have to accept X amount of risk. Then you've got to reward them for that. We've seen in Major League Baseball, you can't have everything when it comes to asking players to go and perform during a pandemic. You can't ask them to take a pay cut and ask them to play for the love of the game and ask them to play for the fans who are going to watch on television to help a country heal. None of that resonates with them. Why? Because they're the ones doing it. They're the ones taking the risk. And this is where the NFL has got to be smart. And maybe this union dude, this president of the NFLPA, maybe he just did this as a preemptive warning to remind the NFL that we're not messing around here. And if you guys make us go on with preseason games that we all know are not necessary, then we cannot trust you. That's basically what it comes down to.
And let's face it, we haven't even gotten into what was the biggest problem for baseball, and that's the salaries. That hasn't really even been discussed, because NFL is also going to be playing with no fans, it mm-hmm. looks like, at this point, and no concessions, and no all that stuff. So the owners will only be making a percentage of their norm. Now, it's only 8 games and not 81 games like it would have been in baseball, but it's still, they're not going to be making their full amount of money that they would during a normal season. So I hope that doesn't become an issue also.
Yeah.
One thing about they talked about the testing, the health, the safety, all that stuff. Tom Pelissero said NFL and NFLPA is still finalizing the testing protocols.
Right now, the NFL and NFLPA, though, still finalizing their testing protocols. What I can tell you is that under the current protocol, there would be an initial intake screening that would consist of two different tests. One for the virus, that would be a nasal swab, as well as one for antibodies, which would consist of a finger prick. Now, in addition to testing the players, I am told that the plan would be to also test players' family members and anyone else who they are cohabitating with, give them an initial test as well. Everyone is confident that they would be able to get those results back within 24 hours. Now, it's important to understand this is not a bubble that the NFL is doing here, but it is an ecosystem. That is something that Dr. Tom Mayer from the union and Dr. Alan Sills from the NFL emphasized to players in a conference call on Friday, which is that testing alone is not a magic bullet. It's also about wearing masks. It's also about social distancing. It is about your behavior even when you are away from the facility. The league and union also collaborating and finalizing educational videos, Patrick, that players will be shown during camp.
Interesting.
The testing thing in general is interesting because that was been a talking point so much about we just have to get more tests. There have to be more testing, more testing. The testing does not stop you from getting the disease. It just tells you if you have the disease.
Yeah, I know. And but it's clearly something that players, if it's going to be promised to players as part of a safety protocol, then once again, you better deliver. That's kind of what we've seen here. And again, I think the NFL, the smart way to honestly do this, and I don't know if they're really kind of able to do this, is just to treat it as it is, to call it what it is, and not try to create illusions of safety or legalese to protect it all. Just say, look, we're going to give you everything you want to perform. What do you need to sign this? What do you need to assume risk yourself for playing this game? And that to me is really just kind of part and parcel with the whole thing. And it's going to be a tough sell. And that's the problem here.
And that's sort of what Adam Silver has been saying with the NBA, in that we're going to do everything in our power to make the bubble as safe as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But we know there's going to be positive tests. We know that there's still risk. And if it gets too risky, we're not going to do it. But we're going to do everything we can to make it safe. And that's really all you can do, especially when you don't have a bubble. I mean, I know people today in July that have tried to get tests and still cannot find a test.
That have to wait
days or wait hours in line and stuff like that to get tests, and then still have to wait, you know, a week or 10 days to get their results. So the fact that the NFL is not going to be in a bubble, and who knows if state by state, it might be harder for certain teams to get the testing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of, I don't want to think about it, but there's a lot of problems that they're going to face that we weren't even thinking about. Terrific.
Yeah. Terrific is right. let's move on to other news
okay,
here.
Okay, great.
I thought you were going to do a new song for us live there, man.
I don't know. What song is this? I recognize the music, but I
can't. This is,
All
right.
It's a British band because it's in the UK.
I know this. I just can't place it. All right, before we get into the NBA, I want to give you something Bob Nightingale tweeted out. The Nashville Stars could be Major League Baseball's next team and baseball's first with a majority ownership of black investors. How would that be for expansion? The Nashville Stars.
Huh.
Yeah. I didn't know. Who knew, right?
I didn't even know they were considering expansion.
And I did not either. All right, well, today's a big day for the NBA. It's a big day for the Phoenix Suns. Because why? Well, the basketball team has left for the bubble in Orlando. The Orlando Magic, the first team to arrive. That, I would hope, would be always be the case, seeing that they're
there
in
already.
Orlando, right?
Yeah.
So, so in this particular...
Were they, though? Actually, I thought Toronto was the first ones there.
No, Toronto didn't go to Orlando. They went somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Remember? And then, but the Phoenix Suns are moving, heading in today, if they're not already there. But the big news about it would be what James Jones told us yesterday and what Kelly Oubre happened to tweet out today. Let's start with the James Jones from yesterday to do this chronologically, Jared, where out of the blue, he opened a door and a window for the return.
This is in just a press conference sort of talking about they're about to leave for the bubble.
Right.
One of the questions was, you know, how has the quarantine impact did some of the players rehab, specifically Kelly Oubre?
Well, it's a challenging environment for anyone, specifically for athletes that are trying to recover from injury. You can't come to the gym. You can't go into the therapy clinics. You can't get on the court. All you can do is just sit and wait. And as an extreme athlete, you can't rush that back. And we've always said that our goal has been for every single one of our guys to improve and to build towards being able to play. And Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing. And so my expectations for him are the same as every other player. Come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play. And hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
Okay. Hopefully that is before Orlando ends. That, of course, is the key phrase in all of that, because that didn't need to be said, but that was said. And then you say to yourself, why was that said? Is Kelly Oubre actually having second thoughts? Kelly Oubre never once actually came out and confirmed the Shams Charania report. But again, what
there's
Shams,
there's no quote that we've played.
There's
him
no
saying, I'm
right.
not playing.
That's
I'm done.
Right. That's right. So there is no him saying it, yet nobody disputed the Shams Charania tweet when it came out. And, you know, his average is pretty darn good. So this morning, Kelly Oubre tweeted out, quote, Orlando is going to be so nostalgic. Recording my whole experience. Wheels up. Hashtag shh. So that tweet now continues the mystery is what that does. That's not Kelly Oubre going, heads up, James Jones was right on the money. I'm going to give this a shot. Or
right.
or heads up, I don't know what James Jones is talking about.
Right.
I'm going there to rehab my knee and support my teammates.
That's right. He didn't phrase it like, oh, I can't wait to go watch everybody else
right,
play or support.
Right,
or
right.
he didn't say, like you said, I'm going to do everything I can to try to get back to join these guys and play with them
yeah.
and make a run at it.
Now, the whole, okay, Orlando is going to be so nostalgic. He spells it wrong, but that's okay. It's
maybe
clear.
He wants it, but people are saying, does he mean nasty and nostalgic at the same time? No.
Maybe.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think
I
so, though.
Yeah, we've come up with three theories
okay.
on what the nostalgia could be. Here.
All right. What and number one would
my
be?
My theory was take him back to his youth of going to Disney,
okay.
the Disney World.
Right.
Your theory was he's the Suns open up with the Washington Wizards, his old team. And then we've had people suggest that perhaps has something to do with it going back to his AAU days or high school days.
And I think it's that one.
Do you think it's that one?
When I threw my theory out there, I was not aware that the AAU tournament was held down there. So maybe I do. I think it's the fact that going to Orlando to playing games all day long in gyms without fans. I think that's what he's talking about.
That's it. That's installed. Eric now, Cohen nailed it.
Yeah. I think, finally. So I think that's what he's talking about here. So the question becomes recording my whole experience. If you're recording your whole experience, that would be not while you're playing unless you're wearing a GoPro.
Right,
that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't
what
it?
What experience is that? Playing ping pong
why
in the lobby?
Why has that never happened, by the way?
What's that?
Why has an NBA player never worn a GoPro?
I'm sure.
Can you imagine the footage that would come of that?
Considering it would have to be something approved by the NBA, I would guess. But they do wear, do NBA players wear microphones? We know athletes wear microphones while they play, not necessarily for the live broadcast, mm-hmm. but then they make like, you know, an NFL films thing or whatever, baseball. So a GoPro, would it be anything other than like nauseating to watch though?
No,
be a
I
lot
think it'd
of
be
like
amazing.
A GoPro in
think about soaring up and dunking on somebody.
I guess a GoPro in the best of times sometimes is like dizzying.
Like
where like you've seen the ones where people like are surfing or they're you know jumping out of an airplane and they're wearing a GoPro.
You could see Paul George making that stank face when Kelly Oubre dunked on him with a GoPro. That'd be great.
Well, I don't. Would you want Kelly Oubre if he's not playing? What good is a GoPro?
Well,
we're gonna see the inside of his hotel
okay.
room.
So the bottom line though really is this: if the Phoenix Sun, if this is not real, if this is just sort of a hanging on to hope for hope's sake, or if it's a general manager who's got an owner breathing down his neck, wanting to know why a star player who's getting paid is not coming back to play when his doctors say he should. And they're just leaving this open to satisfy everybody, then it's a possibility, but that would make me mad.
Or is it as simple as James Jones just doesn't want to give anything away?
Maybe.
So, you know, yeah, sure, Kelly Oubre might come back. All teams that are going to play there, us, you know, in Orlando, He might come back.
But
we might see him back.
And like I said, this is so par for the course with this basketball team, because James Jones yesterday, during the same thing when he excited everybody with the Kelly Oubre possibility, came out and said the entire team is not flying to Orlando together. And you ask yourself, why? What's that all about? Why wouldn't you be going en masse on one plane to a bubble to limit all, you know, potential problems?
In masks.
Right. Why wouldn't they do that? Well, there's got to be reasons for that, but no, none of those reasons were forthcoming. And then you hear everything great that DeAndre Ayton said, and you got to balance it with the fact that he was binge playing video games to the point where he wasn't going to bed at night. So I don't know how he's going to show up, but I guarantee he's not going to look like Zion Williamson.
Oh, but then we also heard, I could find the quote, but just yesterday we were saying that he was in the best shape we ever saw.
Right. So all of this stuff makes you kind of go, what are we getting from this team? And exactly what are they expecting, and what are they going to put out there? And as I said earlier, it's a little bit reckless to toy with fans' emotions if this was not really a possibility. And that applies to Kelly Oubre too, because I would imagine if he's aware about the NBA and the team he plays for, I would imagine that Kelly had gotten a heads up from somebody that the team is maybe expecting him to come back.
Here's the quote, by the way, also from about James Jones talking about the players getting back in shape and how great DeAndre Ayton looked specifically.
I believe so. We've talked about it. I think the way we play, the demands we placed on our guys mentally pushed a lot of them to their limits, and physically it pushed a lot of them to their limits. We had some injuries that we believe were style of play injuries, where, you know, coach is asking you every possession to bring it. On offense, he's asking you to swing it, move it, drive it, make quick decisions, but with maximum effort. So I know this respite will be good for our guys. You can see it. A lot of them, Dario Saric, DeAndre, they came back, you know, after a hiatus in phenomenal condition. Aaron Baines, all these guys, it looks as if they're coming back from summer.
Phenomenal condition.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And in general, I mean, you can't read too much into the Kelly Oubre comment from James Jones, even though in the past, I mean, he doesn't usually talk in vagaries like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Jamal Crawford?
Yes.
What? Oh, sorry. The phone.
You didn't just do that. All right.
It's been a while since.
Yeah, it's been a while. All right, coming up on the other side, if you think the Washington Redskins name change is not an issue, you're going to have to hear from our next guest. Mike Wise, a former columnist for the Washington Post and the New York Times, is going to join us to talk about an issue he has written and researched extensively. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. Welcome back, everybody. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Vince Morata still on vacation. He'll be back next week. Jared, our next guest, Mike Wise, he's more than just an author. He's more than just a columnist. He's more than a guy who's got his own podcast at Pure Hoops Media. Remember I told you that story that I once had a career crossroads and I turned down the New York Times?
Yes.
Mike Wise was the next in at the New York Times. He took the job I turned down and rose to prominence. I could have been this guy, except I'm stuck with you.
You could have been on his show right now.
That's exactly right. Mike, how are you doing, brother?
It all worked out for the best, Dan. you ended up in Arizona where the air is fresh and people aren't stressed out like they hear in Washington, D.C. But yeah, it's good to hear you, man.
Great
How
to hear
you
too, brother. Listen, I was thinking about you when all this went down because you have been writing and researching extensively and passionately about the Redskins name for many, many years. Tell people why it is important that they finally seize this moment and finally do this.
Well, I think just from my vantage point is, and I'll just tell people why I got involved in this. I've heard how many people over the years tell me this is PC crap and that, you know, you're a snowflake and a leftist social engineer for thinking that this name, you know, even Native Americans like this name. And there's a team in Arizona with the same name on a reservation. It's like, you know, like when I went to a protest to cover it about 5 years ago in Minnesota. There were like 4,500 Native Americans. And a couple of, a group of Lakota, Oglala Lakota Sioux moms took me aside and they said, look, I want, can you use your platform to not use the name and tell people what this does to our kids? And I go, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, no, this hurts the self-esteem of our kids. And then I thought, well, okay, that's one thing to say. They've got like these American Psychological Association studies where these unbiased mental health professionals actually studied the thing. And they said, yeah, it ruins these kids' self-esteem because that's all they see. That's all they see themselves as, some Plains Indian warrior. And the Native Americans of today, you know, they want to grow up and be educators. They want to be radio hosts. They want to be journalists, policemen. So the studies also said it hurts all our kids because that's how we see Native Americans today. That's how we see the kids today. It's like they're all, we put them in like an 1800s time warp where they're all on horseback with a bow and arrow. And it's like enough already. They don't want people, you know, a living race of people don't want to be your mascot.
Yeah.
And so, look, I think it's important for many reasons because, you know, the team name's a dictionary defined racial slur. But more than that, I think they got to, you know, when they say respecting Native American culture and rebranding, well, you know how to respect the Native American culture? Don't make them mascots. Don't do the chop.
Right, exactly.
Respect them for who they are today, not who they were 200 years ago.
To what level, if from your experience, because I know that they have, I just don't recall, have the Redskins gone to either buy opinion, change opinion, suppress some of these opinions? Prior to this, to what extent have they gone to preserve that name?
Oh, I mean, the fight is the things that haven't been reported are incredible. I mean, they paid the crisis management PR firm Gerson Marsteller like $1 million a year to fight this name change when it became really hot and heavy about 7 years ago. And these guys, like, they went and, you know, come up with a foundation, the Original Americans Foundation. We're going to give money to tribes. Well, there's no money in that account now because they, you know, they squelched the name change for a while. And so these guys will, they'll trot out Native Americans who aren't even Native Americans. Who are like, you know, they call them pretendians to say that we love this name. And we, you know, and it's like, okay, great. You know, like I know there's, I have friends, a guy on the Pine Ridge Reservation loves the team. Isn't even bothered by the name. He doesn't like people, you know, white kids dressing up in war paint and headdress, but he's okay with it. But it's like, okay, great. So that's like me and you saying, you know, we really want to name a team the N-words, so we're going to go to Def Jam Records. And by the way, everybody there is okay with it. So what's wrong with the rest of you black community? You know what I mean? So like, I just think that, like, you want to trot out your Native American friends. It's a bad look.
Yeah.
Because as even Fred Smoot said, the former cornerback for the team, it's not the people who aren't bothered by it that don't matter. It's the offended who matter. We have to deal with them. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, these whole polls, like you have to have a threshold for offense. We don't do this with any other living race of people. We don't say like, hey, you know, if this many are offended, we'll change it for you.
Well said.
All that stuff. I'm done with it.
Yeah. All right. So Daniel Snyder once defiantly said he would never change the name. The bottom has fallen out of the tub rather quickly on him as regards to that. Where does this story go? How can this be done tactfully? How will this story proceed? How should it proceed?
Well, how should it proceed? He should immediately. He's already. They've already made a decision. They're going to change this name. The worst thing you could do is say, it's going to be the Warriors, and we're going to have feathers and spears instead, and it's going to be, we're going to respect, like, that would be a disaster. How it should proceed is, if you wanted to do the Warriors or the Americans or something, and you had, like, a proud vet logo or a gladiator logo, and you sort of decided, all right, we're going to dedicate this to the veterans of America, and you give whatever, you give 10% of new merchandise sales to the Wounded Warriors in your first year, he'd be a hero. He'd be a hero. And plus, the NFL has co-opted the military anyway for their for part of their marketing campaign each year. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, if you're going to do something, Renegades, whatever it is, you do something with veterans, you do something with the military like that. You don't caricature Native Americans again. They're done with it.
You've been a leading voice on a lot of these issues for a long time, as I said at the beginning, and you've done it while taking a lot of heat yourself. You've been called a lot of those names. I've seen the way people have reacted to some of your progressive ideas and to some of your more humanistic ideas. What do you make of everything that is happening in sports right now?
Well, you know, on some levels it's good, Dan, because, you know, I think for a long time I felt like, you know, there was a lot of shows in Washington that wouldn't have me on because I told them I wouldn't use the team name or I wouldn't go on a show with the team's name on it. And they're like, oh, this guy's over the top. And like, no, I'm just trying to be respectful to a group of people. But I almost feel like we live in a society now where it's, you know, if you go woke, you're not going to go broke anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's in a weird way, like I want to say Nike's altruistic, but the bottom line is the people at Nike raised their finger in the air when they decided to give Colin Kaepernick a $1 million commercial and an endorsement, and they raised their finger and they said, which way is the economic wind blowing? These people, the young kids around America today in the high schools, the colleges, these are the people behind all these name changes at high schools and all these other things. They're the people that want to, you know, take down Confederate monuments. They're realizing that these are their next season ticket holders. These are their next apparel buyers. These are their next. And so they're almost saying to the old guard, probably me, you, everybody else, like, hey, you guys aren't going to buy our stuff forever. These people will. We've got a good 30, 40 year window with them. So I think that that's what's going on right now. I think that there's a, you know, our president has a base. It's not a lot of young people. And a lot of young people in this country, you know, they're just more enlightened than we were growing up. They're more enlightened than our grandfathers were. I mean, so you can call it whatever, you know, offending people all you want and you can't do anything now. I don't know. I just look at it as being, you know, showing some human decency towards some people that deserve it for a long time. And what blows me away is how many African-American celebrities, politicians got involved in this. I mean, essentially the death of George Floyd and the tension between law enforcement and the black community in this country is why the name is changing. I mean, the trickle down of like the monuments, the things that were, it was that whole notion of if there's injustice anywhere, there's, you know, you're a party to injustice everywhere. That is, it all trickled down. And so it's wild that like Spike Lee got involved in it and AOC, the politician, he got involved in it. Like it's crazy to me, but they somehow, a lot of black activists made space for this, realizing there was a shared struggle with people of color. And I don't know. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I really do.
I agree with you.
But then again, I'm a leftist social engineer. So what do I know, Dan?
You're a lot better than that. Thank you, brother. It's great hearing your voice again. I'll connect with you down the road, Mike.
I look forward to it. Tell Jared I said hi and take care. Buddy.
You got it, brother. You be well. Mike Wise, former columnist at the New York Times, Washington Post, has his own podcast, all that good stuff. He really has been the leader of that issue. And you probably know that, being a Redskins. Oh, you're not a Redskins fan.
No, I kind of grew up a Redskins fan, but since I moved to Arizona, Cardinals fan.
Gotcha. All right, Jared, what was I going to talk about next? Clue me in
here. I can't read my handwriting.
All right.
MLB, I have
written Major
down.
League Baseball. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, on the other side, we're going to update you on the weirdness in Major League Baseball that has a schedule, but will they have games? That's next. Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
What's optimistic, Kenny, is that Major League Baseball makes it through this first hurdle. And it's been a pretty ugly hurdle when you have somebody like Chris Bryant coming out and saying, I don't feel particularly safe. When you have someone like Mike Trout coming out and saying, you know, I'm not sure this is going to work. There's a lot of skepticism going on right now. And when you have team after team having to cancel workouts because tests did not get sent out, or even in some cases taken, it's a problem with the testing protocol. If they can get the testing done and done in a timely manner, I think players are going to feel a whole lot safer about this plan going forward.
All right, that's the voice of Jeff Passan, ESPN, telling you about the latest hurdle in Major League Baseball that has to do with the expediency of test results and whether or not players feel comfortable taking the field and working out without that information. They've not been real tickled about the delay in some of this. Chris Bryan had mentioned 9 days that would elapse between a test and a result, which is certainly not workable. How can you do this when you're playing games?
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear from, I keep saying it's interesting. I'm a very interested guy, I guess.
Yeah,
when I'm
clearly.
Co-hosting. Chris Bryant, when you hear from, you know, when Mike Leake or somebody of that level, Mike Leake's fine player, but he's not a superstar. Now that we're hearing from the Mike Trouts and Chris Bryants of the world, MVPs, some of this, the concerns have more heft and more weight. Let me just play a Chris Bryant quote because we keep talking about, here's an actual quote from him.
I got tested on Tuesday, and the second one was, what's today, say Monday? The second one was yesterday. And I know it sounds stupid to complain about that, and I'm not trying to be insensitive by any means, because there's a lot of people out there struggling and need tests, and you know, I genuinely want that to come across, but at the same time, like, you know, MLB created this lab and did all this stuff to, you know, be able to run a season. And, you know, like I said, I feel like this is one of the, I know there's going to be hiccups, you know, but you just can't hiccup with this, you know, because it could just be one day where it just ruins everything, you know? So we really got to be on top of this thing and, you know, hopefully we figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know exactly where this thing is going and what the level of motivation is on both sides. I think you were onto something yesterday when if both sides were kind of on the fence about, should we even bother with this? Then this could be something that kind of blows the whole thing apart. And you're hearing, like I said, Chris Bryant's comments, they were rather incendiary in the fact that you're basically saying everything they promised us to keep us safe, they're not delivering, so we're not going to keep doing this at this rate.
It's almost like more that they created their own lab to handle this,
right?
And that was the one that screwed up the timing of the
That's
testing.
Right. That's right. So again, I'm going to hope that they can get to the start of this all, because the start of this all is not that far away. When Major League Baseball released the schedule yesterday, it had an interesting effect. See, I'm interested too, Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
It had a very interesting effect because it, once again, now there's something tangible in front of you. You know, on July 23rd, which is not that far away, there are going to be two baseball games. The Yankees are going to play the Nationals. Giants are going to play the Dodgers.
16 days away.
In 22 days, a Houston Astros batter will step into the batter's box to face a Dodgers pitcher. And all hell is going to break loose.
Yeah, we'll all be booing at our television.
Right, right, exactly. And then, you know, it's people have looked at this and gone, oh, look, there's Yankees Red Sox. Oh, look, there's Diamondbacks Giants. I wonder if Madison Bumgarner is going to pitch in that one. And oh, and here are the Astros against the Dodgers. And so we've gone through those kind of machinations now that are very comforting. And that make it seem like baseball is right there in front of us. Maybe it'll have the same effect on players. Maybe putting teams out there to go along with dates kind of solidifies things that, okay, we're going to go along. We're going to do this. I think the Diamondbacks are, in terms of from what I can tell, COVID-19 freakout factor, it sounds like the Diamondbacks are in pretty decent shape. I mean, Cole Calhoun tested positive. We don't know if he's opting out. All right. David Peralta tested negative 4 consecutive times. He's back now. The team lost Mike Leake from the pitching rotation out of COVID-19 fears. But for the most part, the rest of the team is intact.
And it's almost what happens now isn't as big as what will happen in a few weeks when they start playing. Because a testing snafu now, okay, all it does is delay practice for a day or so. What happens if there's a testing snafu a few weeks into the season,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they have a game the next day and they don't have the test results?
It's true.
Do they not play the game? Do they go forward? Do they delay it? Then, because the season is so compacted and so, you know, shrunk down, if you delay one game, how much does that screw up the whole rest of the schedule?
And that in and of itself is why Major League Baseball has to understand what the next mess up the next delay is going to look like and what it might mean to everything.
Jeff Passan saying there's no margin of error in the MLB.
If they didn't forecast issues at the beginning, then they are far more naive than any of us realize. And I think they are inveterate planners. This plan just fell through. And it was a mistake, and it came back to bite them. Because when you're trying to come back, Kenny, in the middle of a pandemic, you do have to get everything right. And that's the problem. There is no margin for error for Major League Baseball right now. And all they're hoping going forward is not just that the testing is going to be taken care of, but that the players are not going to look at this as a sign that this isn't going to work and start breaking the protocols that are in place.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Major League Baseball has in front of it. And I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. Major League Baseball players could have had a bubble. They could have had something that really mitigated the risks. They could have all been in one place. They could have been in Arizona. They could have been in Florida. They could have been in a combination of any different number of plans that could have played out with them playing baseball outside their home stadiums and cities. They chose very early on to make that a non-starter. So it's not like this was Major League Baseball's preferred plan. At one point in time, I thought the bubble aspect of it all was a smart way to go. If the NBA is able to finish its season and crown a champion, and if Major League Baseball can't get off the ground, that will be on the players, not the owners. It will be on the players for not even allowing a bubble.
Because all they fought about was the money.
That's all they did.
The health issues, the safety concern, the testing, what's going to look like with a bubble or not a bubble, that wasn't even talked about until like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And for months, all it was the money, the money, the money, the money, money. And then they were so far apart on that, and they were arguing so much about that, that now all of a sudden they're dealing with all these safety protocols that should have been the first thing that they worried about.
Yeah, and it doesn't marginalize their health concerns, but Major League Baseball would have backed a plan and funded a plan that put their health concerns right at the forefront of everything. And they chose not to because they did not want that dynamic in their game. They wanted to be able to, they didn't want to leave their homes for the amount of time it would have taken. And that's because they're trying to execute a season from start rather than finish one like the NBA.
But it's not going to even be any longer.
That's true.
Like, the whole season is 60 games, which is like two months.
The only difference, though.
60 games in 66 days, I think.
But the only difference is that teams are going to be leaving the bubble in Orlando. Basketball teams will be leaving in waves. Okay.
Right,
so there's four additional teams that are not playoff
teams.
They're
all not going to be there for 2.5 months.
That's right. So they're going to be gone by the middle of August. So if you were a member of the Phoenix Suns and hypothetically you did not want to do this, you could at least go, all right, you know what, I'm out of there by August 14th.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for 2 weeks.
I'll be there 2 weeks and I'm gone. I'm done. Then the next round, the next teams, then there'll be four playoff teams eliminated after that.
True.
They'll be gone. And that's when I think it's going to get real interesting because the momentum of teams building towards something and teams leaving, it's going to really have an interesting effect that here are all these courts that we all shared and played on, and now it's just us and you guys. That's going to be fun. I think that's going to be kind of cool, to be honest with you. All right, lots of stuff to get into. We got an hour left. We're going to begin with some social studies. Sarah Cazell will join us next. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.